You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
So, we're adult beveraging tonight?
Yes.
What are you drinking, Rose?
Well, I was going to drink some of my contraband brandy.
Right.
But I thought there's no way in hell I'm going to get through this session with one of those. So, luck would have it, I found my Grand Marnier, and I put a double shot in some eggnog.
Oh, nice.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretty tasty.
So it's like a dessert drink.
Yeah.
Cool.
I just had dinner.
I'm really looking forward to you enjoying the brandy and, sharing with us, as you went. Yeah, so I was really curious about that. Maybe another time. Yeah.
Yeah, a different show. Yeah, sorry. I have to go to work tomorrow, too, so.
Yep. Okay. Good enough.
So do I, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, are you enjoying a beverage, Scott?
Don't I always?
Yeah. So tell them we're due.
Yes, it is.
Okay. On the stones?
Rocks.
Oh, yes. On the rocks, not stones.
No,
okay.
No. Actually, so it's funny you brought that up because Chrissy actually bought me some of the stones,
right,
that you're supposed to use for, or that you can use for drinking things on the rocks without the ice melting or whatever. And mm-hmm. I tried them and they're really not working very well. So I went back to regular ice. I had a sphere last night and I didn't get a chance to refill it. So I don't have an actual Death Star sphere tonight. I'm just doing regular ice cubes.
Okay.
So, anyway.
Well, cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Ooh. That's good.
A little. There you go.
Yeah,
I love whiskey.
There's this bourbon that this is the first time trying it. So,
what is it?
It's tasty.
What is it?
It's called Angel's Envy.
Really?
Yeah. So it's a bit more of an expensive bottle than I normally buy myself.
And what would that be? Like $30 a bottle versus 20?
No, actually, this is like a $50 bottle.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Busting it out tonight, man.
Yeah, I tell you. Yeah.
So, that's serious drinking right there.
I tell you. Right.
That's like that. That's the one that you hide in the back of the cabinet so you don't have to share it with your, neighbors.
Yes. Yeah. The guests come over, you don't bring that out. You're no. I got the $20 bottle right here.
Unless you invite Chris over.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
Cheryl's husband.
Mm-hmm.
He appreciates a good booze. Like he had the good whiskey or good scotch.
Yeah.
Mm.
He likes good scotch. So you got to share it with people that will truly appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. He would give you a good, he'd be able to break it down and give you a good review.
Yeah. I've gone on scotch tastings with
him. Oh, that's right. You've gone with him. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He does like that.
Yeah. He'll write, little comments as they have like a sheet that gives you a list of all the different scotches mm-hmm. you get to try per table. And what he does is he writes notes because he knows as we drink samples throughout the night, you kind of get yourself a little buzzed and you kind of forget what everything tastes like. So he writes stuff that is like, will remind him of which ones he liked, which ones he didn't. He'll put like smiley faces or something like that. But then like if something's like really gross, he says tastes like gasoline or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's got a good system.
That's good.
Yeah.
I wish I would have did that with this rosé, this French rosé that I had at a function last year. And I, to this day, I have no clue what the hell it was, but it went down so smooth. Amazing.
All right, so I guess if we're going to use the same format as we did last time, then it's just going to be a recap of the top stuff from those years, right?
Yes.
Okay.
You guys like this idea still? I like it. The hell, I can't type though.
Okay, you're typing?
What the? 78. Holy cow, my keyboard's all screwed up.
Okay. Do you need to do anything like reboot or something?
So I'm typing up 70. I'm trying to look up top albums of 1978. Because I have a few other things already listed, but I didn't get to that one yet. Okay. And when I type in 78, it pulls up 83.
Your computer is possessed.
They're not, like, the keys aren't even next to each other. Okay, let me try this. It works on my regular keyboard. Okay.
Your computer doesn't want you to go out of the 80s.
Okay.
No. The 80.
We may move on. Ooh. Okay, I already got it. I don't mind.
All right, so are you good? Do you have to do anything with your computer?
No, I'm good. I'm all good. All right, I'm not going to reboot. Screw that.
No rebooting.
Nope.
No reboot overdrive here.
Nope, I'm already recording. We're all good.
Rose, you good?
I'm great, thank you.
Okay. Bonsai Retro Club, can you dig it? I am Dave. Online, I've got Rose.
Hey, Al.
And I've got Scott.
Did you say Al?
Al? Yeah, I can call you Al.
No, it sounded like Rose said, hey, Al.
I said, hey, y'all.
She says y'all. It's a y'all thing.
All. No, it sounded like you said all. Al. Who's Al?
Hey, Al. Okay, fine. You can call me
Al. Grand Marnier talking.
Can you call me Betty?
Definitely.
Okay. All of a sudden, I got Chevy Chase in my brain.
Hey, everybody. Yes, this is Scott. How's everybody doing?
Let me tell them what news have you had.
No.
Sorry.
Let's see.
We'll slur a little later, everybody. Yeah, just for the listener's sake, every one of us is enjoying an adult beverage of some sort. So as we go along, this could get interesting. Let's find out.
We're weird.
let me preface this by saying, excuse my slur, first of all, but I approached my wife earlier this afternoon and I said to her, oops, drunk.
You said that earlier?
Yes, I did.
Earlier. How much earlier?
Yeah, like before the Bears game started. So.
Oh my God, the Bears.
That was at 4 o'clock.
So you're a couple hours into a buzz.
Oh well, yes.
Nice.
Cheater.
Yes, and you are all welcome for the entertainment that's about to come forth.
I just started, so I have to catch up.
Don't even try, buddy.
Yeah.
No, I'm usually pretty good at like reeling it in, so I had some water.
So oh, okay. All right.
Uh-oh, you took a water break. Awesome.
I'm exaggerating a little bit with you guys, so.
Oh, so, I got you. For the fun of the show, I got you.
Yeah, I like to, you know.
Ham it up.
Occasionally, I like to goof.
Wow. He's a goofer and a tangent. Mm.
Tangent King. Mm-hmm.
All right, listeners. It's funny.
I'm sorry.
Dear God, Mike, can we get through an intro here? What the hell?
No. So Chrissy listened to, you know, the two concert shows that I did with Robin and Chris. And okay. She goes, you know, I never really realized how much of a tangent king you really are. And now that she's like, she listened to it and she heard me admit to that and claim it. She's been listening to my conversations when we're out doing social things, you know, because of Christmas and New Year's and all that stuff. She's like, you really are. You really do go on tangents. I'm like, oh, man. Yeah, I do. That's why I claimed it.
Hey. All these years, she's never acknowledged it. Now she's like, yeah, oh my God.
Over that. You should let her listen to the theme song. Because you get like a whole just about your dance. I
cannot wait for us to record that. Like, to really put it together. I got to contact my cousin. He plays piano.
That's like the best song I ever wrote, I think.
It is awesome.
It took me less than 10 minutes. I kid you not.
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
I have to write it down. Those are the lyrics. I did not write it down. Okay.
Well, we have it on
audio. Sang it into the recording. Yeah?
We have it somewhere on audio, yes.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, I didn't
know. You recorded it for us. Right. And
yep.
Sent
just
it to
sent
us. So. Yep. It's good.
So the listener has no idea what we're talking about, by the way.
Of course not.
What's the listener?
What? The people.
Somebody's listening?
Yeah, like maybe the 5 or 6 people that actually listen to our show.
All these times, I just thought we were having phone calls. I thought we were just talking to each other.
People are listening to this?
So,
a few people, maybe one or two, I don't know.
People should be ashamed of yourselves for eavesdropping like this.
So, listener, what you don't know is that we asked Rose to create a... like a theme song for our podcast, and she put together something which she just admitted in 10 minutes that is absolutely brilliant, and we can't wait to share it with you, but we want to put some good audio tracks behind it with some music. So when that is kind of like, you know, ready to share, you're going to definitely hear it, because we're going to post that fucker on top of everything because we love it.
Yes, it is definitely going to go out there for probably the intro.
Yeah, that's definitely what we would use it for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it does a good breakdown as to each one of our, if you want to call them, roles here on the podcast. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. And Rose was just brilliant with it, and that's why we can't wait to share it with you.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, hey, you know, I was just surprised that we didn't think to ask you to do that earlier.
It never occurred to me, honestly. You know, all this time we've had people, you know, dead, even in the almost said Rainbow reboot. Whoa. Okay. it's kicking in, people. even in those days, in the reboot, you know, whatever that was called. I can't do it again.
80s reboot overdrive.
Thank you. That's a mouthful.
Overlord.
It was, we were always getting people, you know, like Dominique, you know, we got him to let us use his, you know, song that he wrote about the 80s.
Oh, that was awesome. Yes.
Yeah.
I know. And then
we should get him back on the show. Sorry.
We should see what he's doing. Yeah. Pretty neat guy. And then, so it wasn't really like, who thought of that? You know, nobody thought of it. And I was okay with nobody thinking of it because I sure didn't. It was just one of those things.
And then our Tangent King, just a random thought, and he's like, we should have Rose do this. And it was like, of course we should. So it
actually,
was awesome.
That yeah. is like a challenge. Like, well, Rose writes lyrics.
It was right. kind of, I, you know what? I cannot hide. You called me out on that because that's true. That's kind of how I felt. Like, I'm like, I'm going to throw it out there and see if she takes the challenge.
Takes the
and
bait.
You did.
Yeah.
You jumped right on it. Like, within minutes, you had something. Like, I threw it out there, and Dave's like, gives me, I think you threw out the thumbs up on the, you know, the messenger. Yeah. And then Rosalie's like, yeah, this is a great idea. And minutes later, there's an audio file out there to us. And I'm like, oh my God, she wrote a song already. And it's good. It's really very fitting.
I love just like that. I love people be like, you know, I dare you to do this. And be like, really? You obviously don't know what you're fucking with. You did it. Oh my God. Unless it's like jumping off a cliff or sticking my head in a lion's mouth or something stupid like that. Really would not do that.
Well, as much as jumping off a cliff would sound like fun right now, yeah, I'll pass.
I know. Definitely. So are we done with our intro? Can we talk now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are we talking on topic now?
Topic.
I think so.
We're on topic. Okay, so the topic tonight is we're going to rehash the idea that we had at the beginning of last year, or this year, I'm sorry, 2018. And what we did is it's kind of our episode recap of the year. And what we did last year at this time is we discussed the top box office movies from 1978, 1988, 1998, top TV shows from 1978, 1988, 1998, and then most sold albums per year for each of those same years. So this is kind of our recap of, you know, for 2018, you know, that's why we're covering the 78, 88, 98 years. So that wasn't that smooth, but you get the idea. And so, but we're also along the way, I'm sure what we're going to do is be bringing up some other things that happened in those years that we liked, as kind of our favorite list or, tangents, if you will.
Hey.
Yeah, that's your key. and so normally, you know, what I was thinking, and I'm going to put both of you on the spot, was this, is that we would hand off, like, owning the start off of that particular conversation point. So who wants to do movies, who wants to do shows, and who wants to do albums? Rose? You get to pick first.
Oh, cool. Oh, man.
When we get to what we're going to do is we'll still focus on that year, but when we start that piece of the conversation, then you get to kick us off.
Okay.
So, like, Rose is going to go, like, okay, we're going to talk about movies now, and then we'll go through our each of our movies, or each of the top box office movies.
Right.
And then we'll move on to, like, I would probably take music.
Yeah.
Okay. So you call him music then, Scott? Okay.
I would like to do music, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But we get to say stuff about music, though, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we're okay. We're not
scripted here.
I'll take TV shows.
TV shows. All right. I get movies. Yay. All right. Sweet. So flip a coin. Who gets to go first for 78? Virtual coin flip. Call it.
Heads.
It doesn't matter. I really don't have a coin. All right. So go ahead, Rose. You said TV shows. Go ahead and kick us off.
Oh, my God. That was so funny. Okay. So top TV shows for these three decades. 1978 was Laverne and Shirley. 1988 was Cosby Show. And 1998 was ER. We can talk about Laverne and Shirley first, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So who wants to go first?
Well, I think it's very, the timing of this is just kind of eerie because we had just lost Penny Marshall.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
And I love this show. It was a great spinoff from Happy Days. And there were so many great things, you know, the big ragu, Lenny and Squiggy, and then just the chemistry between Laverne and Shirley, and Laverne liking milk and, I think it's milk and Pepsi or milk and Coke, one of those two.
Milk and Pepsi.
Yeah.
Milk and Pepsi.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it was just a fun show, and it was great to see, you know, in the 70s when you started to get these TV shows that were dominated by a woman personality or women personalities. Mm-hmm. And Laverne and Shirley just owned the comedy of this, you know, and they didn't need it didn't rely on the men of that particular show. You know, it's not like it was a Three's Company where they had to have a Jack Ritter. They had, you know, it was them, you know, they were the main draw there. You know, they had other people that were in there, but, you know, it wasn't like they needed them. And it was so well done. It was so funny. I just, you know, even the opening theme song is so iconic, you know, and I could, you know, still think about that. So I absolutely love the show. It was a great show for me. Well, yeah, Scott.
So, yeah, I loved this show too. And I just saw something recently on Facebook. Somebody just posted a picture. It was one of those ones that said, you know, if you recognize this, you had a great childhood or whatever. And it was a picture. It was a cartoon picture. It wasn't an actual photo of the reel, but it was a cartoon picture of a bunch of beer bottles with a glove on one of them.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my, yeah. If you recognize that, you know you grew up with Laverne and Shirley and the theme song opening, Shamil, Shamil's with Hoss and Pepper Incorporated. Da-da-da-da-da-da, we're going to do it. You know, and it goes on and on. And it's embedded in my mind. I mean, the whole, I can, you know, like Shirley with her kitty, what was the name of the cat? Like the stuffed animal cat. Boo Boo Kitty. I want to say Kitty Boo Boo, but it was Boo Boo Kitty. Thank you.
I completely forgot about Boo Boo Kitty. Thank you.
And Carmine always having to go, you know, they'd start kissing and making out, and he'd always have to go take a cold shower. I just thought that was funny. And Laverne with her, she always put like tape on her, what was it, on her eyebrows or on her forehead or something.
It was.
When she would go to bed.
Yeah, it was
to keep the wrinkles away or whatever.
Yeah.
It was, and Penny Marshall was hysterical in it. One of my favorite people to come out of that whole thing was Michael McKean, though.
Oh yeah,
as Lenny.
Lenny, right?
Which at the time you would have never guessed that he would go on to do so many things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like Penny Marshall did a lot of things too. You know, kind of, she kind of went behind the scenes, did a lot of directing and producing.
Yeah.
Where Shirley, what was her name?
Cindy Williams.
Cindy Williams, thank you. You really didn't see her too much after Laverne and Shirley. She did a few things here and there, but she didn't play a major role in production or direction or movie roles. And then even Squiggy, did not really do too much after that. But man, Michael McKean and Penny Marshall really went way, like they've done so many things. Michael McKean is really one of my favorite comedic actors. He cracks me up because, you know, he was in Spinal Tap, and then that whole cast of the mockumentary style, like Best in Show and A Mighty Wind and Waiting for Guffman.
Working with Christopher Guest, definitely.
And Christopher Guest, yes. And I can't remember all their names. There's so many of them that all keep coming back. Like Parker Posey was part of that for a little bit. Anyway, but it's a great, great show. And it still holds to this day, like entertaining wise, you know?
Yeah,
you still watch it and go, oh, yeah, it's funny. It's good, funny stuff.
It's funny that you bring it up, like Michael McKean and Penny Marshall. Mm-hmm. It's like Tom Hanks, where you like, you know, this guy started as bosom buddies. And you're like, that guy? You know, he's doing all this now? And it's like you see that same kind of career path with Penny and Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, I would have never guessed at the time, but, you know, Lenny would go on to be who he became.
Right.
So,
Rose, what were your thoughts on Laverne and Shirley?
Oh, my gosh. So many thoughts. Laverne and Shirley were icons for, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way to Mary Tyler Moore, but they were icons for the average woman. You know, yes, I know Mary Tyler Moore took it upon herself and, you know, in the show, and, you know, she went out there and she was a divorcee, you know, which is harder, I think, you know, back then. And she, you know, got a job in a newsroom and, you know, it showed her life as a single woman, which was great. You know, she had this amazing apartment and all these guys and, you know, her daily struggles in the newsroom. And that was great. I mean, that was the catalyst. But Laverne and Shirley did this for the working gal. You know, the true working women. I mean, they worked in Schott's beer factory, you know, and
it's a brewery. It's not a factory. It's a brewery.
Well, factory brewery. Couldn't think of the word.
That's what us beer snobs call it nowadays. It's not a beer factory. It's a brewery. Now, I know you guys always know me as drinking whiskey, but really, I'm like a big beer snob too. And I'm so glad you brought that up because I was about to go there after you were, you know, had thrown your input. I'm like, and they worked at a brewery, which is awesome.
Yeah. And in Milwaukee, of all
in Milwaukee,
places.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like you got the working girl aspect of being single. You know, Laverne was always larger than life, you know, in more ways than one. And she had the big L that was embroidered on all of her sweaters. And, you know, Shirley was a little bit of a kind of a, you know, I wouldn't call her a wallflower, but she had some spunk, too. She just, you know, took a backseat to Laverne every so often just because it warranted it.
She had more of an innocent feel to her. You know, innocent,
she did.
Persona.
Yeah. And Laverne's father, you know, raised her, you know, after her mother died. And Mr. DeFazio, and he had the pizza place. And so everybody, they were well established in the neighborhood, which is kind of indicative of most cultures, you know, throughout the decades. You know, if you owned a business and you had friends growing up, you know, and all of a sudden you're all grown up and everything, and everybody's trying to pair off with everybody else, it, you know, it only stands to reason that, you know, people would be interested in seeing some other person's life aspect of how that worked. One of my favorite episodes, and one I think of the most risque ones, was when Laverne thought she was pregnant because she went to a party and she, you know, she got drunker than she wanted to, I guess, and couldn't remember what happened. And it was the lady that Mrs. Babish, the lady that lives out there that kind of had you know, a thing for her dad. I think they kind of had a thing for each other, but, you know, it was just one of those, you know, hit and miss type of things. But I remember watching that thinking, oh, my God, if she thinks she's pregnant, then she's had sex. You know, and this is like 15, 16-year-old Rose thinking this, going, oh my God, you know, she's a loose woman. Because I was always taught you have sex when you're married. That's pretty much, and everybody else is just kind of a floozy, you know. But honestly, I didn't want to look at her like that. You know,
a little, little too much milk and Pepsi.
A little bit too much Pepsi. But, you know, and I thought, you know, this isn't going to end badly, because it can't, because it's a TV show. So when, you know, everything kind of, you know, culminated towards the end, and then she came back from the doctor and she got the all clear and she gives her dad the thumbs up, you know, because he was worried too. And he was like kind of angry with her. You know, it was just like the first time you've ever seen him like really be angry, not like that false, oh, I'm shouting at you because I'm your dad and I'm Italian and I'm waving my hands around, kind of a cultural euphemism kind of way. But you actually like, you know, he's concerned and he's just like, kind of knew what was going on, but I didn't know you like really, you know. So he was shocked too. He was just as shocked as everybody else. But so there was a lot of highs and lows, you know, throughout the series. It wasn't all fun and games, which was great. So I've definitely, you know, everybody's gonna miss her. You know, Penny Marshall, you know, she even went on and did League of Their Own, which is an amazing movie. Mm-hmm. Among other things, she was married to Rob Reiner. You know, they had a daughter and stuff. So it's just, you know, one of those things. You do remember the best years of your life. And, you know, and there's certain things that help carry you along. You know, and Laverne and Shirley definitely was one of those times. So
that's a really – that's funny that you bring up with Rob Reiner.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was the one that was the – the producer or director and host of Spinal Tap, which Michael McKean was part of, that they all tied together like that. But yeah. Okay, just imagine a night in the evening of Rob Reiner and Penny Marshall sitting around a dinner table. I mean, just think about the conversations that must be going on there. Like they're both so hysterical. You got Rob Reiner, who is just he's just funny himself, and then Penny has just got a kind of off the wall sense of humor. So yeah. The two of them together, I just can't even imagine what it must have been like around in you know, as a fly on the wall. It would have been great to be in their home.
Yeah, they were Hollywood royalty because you know, Gary Marshall's brother, Carl Reiner, was his dad.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like
another hysterical man.
Oh my God, the humor in that man, and he's still going too. You know, just to be able to like you say, be a fly on the wall and be involved in any of the conversations that they had, it was just like you know, brilliant. Yeah. Really brilliant.
I'm just trying to imagine, you know, like Rob doing something like, well, I'm making this mockumentary and I'm looking for this guy. I wonder if Mike's busy.
Mike.
Are you?
He was in that show with you, wasn't he? What do you think he's doing now?
And then him being part of another very controversial show at the time in the 70s, you know, All in the Family as Meathead.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was something. That was really something.
So anyway, back to
back to the TV shows. Yeah, so we're
gonna have to break this up into two parts. I have a feeling already.
You think? Because we haven't even gotten off the first part of.
I know the very first section of what we're talking about.
Yeah,
and we did this last year.
Yeah,
where we had to split it up into two parts. So
are we talking about Cosby Show now?
Yeah.
We're talking about the Cosby Show, 1988.
Right.
One of the huge phenomenon breakout shows of the time.
I don't think anybody realized that, but if you're a regular listener, you realize I just overlorded right there.
Yeah, you did.
You reined us back in.
So since you're overlording, why don't you start us off?
What, with the Cosby Show?
Yeah. Good idea, Rose.
You know,
Deflection.
How about those Cubs?
Got my hands by between these pillows.
That's Bears, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're gonna go all the way this year.
Yeah, Bears. Cosby
they won
Show.
Today, by the way, just FYI, they won.
Did they win? Okay.
They're dangerous. Wouldn't it be? Richard said, "Wouldn't it be a great Super Bowl to see the Bears and the Chiefs?"
Don't F no.
Are we going to get into sports talk now? I've got nothing to offer here.
No, I'm this total. I
back to the Cosby Show, listener.
No,
back to the Cosby Show. No.
She threw it out.
No.
Yes. No. Seriously, she threw it out.
We can't tangent it now.
It was an innocent thing. Just fell right out of my mouth.
No, do you have any idea what that means to me?
Oh dear God.
I don't.
Are we really doing this?
No, seriously. My dad is. No, listen, I have to tell you, my dad
That's
is from
Angels
Kansas
Envy
City.
Bourbon, people.
All right, I'm sending you a photo. I'll send you guys a photo in a minute. My dad is from Kansas City. He was a hardcore Chiefs fan, okay? So I was raised as a Chiefs fan. I have a picture of me at 4 years old with a football in my hand and a Chiefs helmet at my side, okay? But then I lived in Chicago and grew up as a Bears fan. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Now if the Bears and the Chiefs ever met in the Super Bowl, I'm like, there's no way they're ever going to meet in the Super Bowl. You know, it's just the odds are too great for, you know, them to just all come together to where those two teams, the two teams that I love from one, you know, the AFC versus the NFC. That they would meet together in the Super Bowl would be, it'd be mind blowing to me, and I wouldn't know who to root for. Either way, I win, I guess. Right?
Right.
Either way, I win.
You're absolutely right.
So, if it happens,
just agree with the tangent.
That would be awesome. If it happens, it would be awesome. I think it's going to happen next year, though.
Okay.
Because I think they're both up and coming. I think they're still a little too immature to get to that point.
I don't know. I've two people call the Bears dangerous today.
The Bears are dangerous, but so is Seattle. Seattle's very dangerous.
Hey, Rose, do you know a lot about sports?
I know enough to be dangerous.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
You know enough to be the Bears or the Seahawks.
Actually, I'm not really a Seahawks fan at the moment.
Yeah.
I've asked it. I'm a Raiders fan at the moment. Because of Chucky.
Yeah. They had an unfortunate year.
Yeah, they did, but it's all right.
Anyway. So
come on, bring us in with Cosby.
If
I was trying.
Rose started it.
It's Rose's fault is what you're saying.
That's
okay.
Rose's
that
fault.
That tangent is on Rose. I gotcha. Okay.
I had to follow it up though. I had to finish it off, so
I just could not let that hang out there.
Okay. Yeah, I couldn't just leave it go.
We're the bait casters tonight.
You know where I stand.
This is going to be a rough podcast to get through.
No, it's not. It's fun.
No, it completely is fun. I just wish I had something to add. here's where I'm at with Cosby Show. I loved the show back in the 80s. I absolutely loved it. I watched it all the time. Completely adored just the cast. I loved the interaction with each other. I love that there was some sort of play on his Bill Cosby stand-up routine. And I'm saying a lot of stuff as past tense, and that's for a reason. Mm-hmm. And you know, I still have a thing for Denise Cosby. What was her
Lisa Bonet?
Lisa Bonet, yeah.
That's who she's married to, right?
Absolutely. Lenny Kravitz.
Hell no.
No?
She's married to Jason Momoa, Aquaman.
Oh, really?
He's like 6'10", and weighs a clean 220 pounds.
I just saw that today. That was a great, awesome movie. but anyway, Lisa Bonet is... I just always had an attraction towards her. She was just a very beautiful...
Yeah.
Woman. So, you know, to, you know, the Cosby Show was great comedy. It brought, you know, a great family unit, you know, that was an African American type of, you know, sense of being, you know, something that was, yeah, you didn't see before, you know, other than, you know, something like Sanford and Son, which wasn't really, you know, a family that's doing well. But right, this family was doing really well.
They had affluence, basically. He was a doctor, yeah. She was a lawyer. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, and these people were successful, and it was exactly what, you know, you wanted to see in the 80s, and, you know, such a, you know, a fun comedy family unit. And mm-hmm. The reason why I'm talking, you know, that was past tense is because it's hard for me to talk about it now because of the sins of Bill Cosby nowadays.
Yeah.
And I, unfortunately, my heroes have gotten tainted over the years, you yeah. know, and, you know, the Hulk Hogan's of the world, the Bill Cosby's of the world, you know, these were all great men at one time, and I realize they're just human beings, but mm-hmm. to do stuff that's just so morally against what I believe in, mm-hmm. I can't give them credit anymore for what they did before that was great.
Yeah.
So it's tough for me. It's tough for me to say that this was a great show because of his involvement in it. Because now what I know of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish it wasn't that way. I wish that, you know, we could have gone on thinking Bill Cosby was a great man. But mm-hmm. I can't get behind that anymore. I can't give him credit for what he did that was great. Because I just don't respect them.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at. I want to say I love this show, but I can't anymore because of his involvement.
Yeah.
So, sorry to say that. Scott, where are you at with the Cosby Show?
I understand where you're coming from on that part of it. I do remember watching it. I remember it was entertaining. But that's all I really can say about it, other than it was impactful, I think, for a lot of shows to follow, especially for like the Black community. Okay. It set a different attitude in the Black community. Because, like, you know, the previous Black shows that were mostly Black families were, like, Good Times.
Or wait a minute, the Jeffersons were pretty successful.
And Jefferson. Mm-hmm. Now right. They were starting, yeah, they were moving on up.
Right.
To the East Side. But Cosby took it to the next level of success for a family that was, you know, of Black heritage or whatever. So in a way it was a step in a direction that set a precedent for a lot of future shows. At the same time, I totally agree with Dave. It's hard not to look at that, at his personal side of things, which I try to separate it. I try to separate those things because what he played in the show didn't, and what the show was about didn't necessarily represent what he did in his personal life, because I don't always think personal life and professional life should be mixed up.
Right.
Not always. And however, he was a predator, according to, you know, his not just allegations, but he was convicted. So. It was pretty much set forth that way. Anyway, but overall, the show at the time was entertaining. It was funny. He had lots of great sweaters that were
Cosby sweater.
Were definitely a. They set a standard for sweaters at the time. You know, they were a fashion statement. Like, I know a lot of people that had sweaters like that during the late 80s and early 90s. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, this Claire, is way better than Mr. Rogers' sweaters.
Claire, his wife, right?
Mm-hmm. Or,
yeah.
No, Camille. No.
Claire,
yeah.
No, Claire. Yeah, his wife
was
in real life.
Camille was his real life wife, right?
Yeah.
At the time, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Claire, which basically played Camille. I mean, this was his kind of take on life in general anyway. A lot of the shtick was from mm-hmm. his stand-up comedy, mm-hmm. which was very funny. Bill Cosby himself.
Mm-hmm.
That was hysterical, but and that kind of spun off the whole series anyway. Claire, I always loved her. I always thought she's very beautiful and funny mm-hmm. actress. Lisa Bonet, I never really had a crush on her, so it was just kind of, you know, she was just part of the cast to me.
You've got to look up the cover of Rolling Stone that well, she posed nude.
Okay.
Anyway. Sorry. Go ahead, though.
That's okay. And then, of course, you had the extra comic relief of Rudy. You know, she always had the little cute little girl that always had something funny to say. She was like...
Rudy. Yeah.
Yeah. She always had, like, the wrap-up of the comedy bit, whatever bit they were doing at the time.
Oh, she guys. Was like, she Go was ahead. Like, talking.
Huh? What?
Huh? I have to leave for a second. I just got visitors. Keep talking.
Okay. You have visitors?
Yes.
Is it Amazon? Are they delivering?
No.
Late
no.
Christmas gift?
I gotta go.
They're aliens.
My kids.
They're gonna rip out their face and they're lizards. Visitors.
You have to, like, you have to go for the night or just need
no.
a break?
I need a break for a sec.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Please hold.
Bye.
Please hold.
Please hold.
All right. You can continue, Scott.
Ding.
Or we're gonna actually Ding. Hold. Okay.
No. Well, now I'm all squirreled.
You don't know what to do.
Yeah.
All right. So 1988, May 1988, Rolling Stone cover. Look that up.
All right.
How can you look at that and not be very appreciative of Lisa Bonet?
May 1988, Rolling Stone. Oh. Yes, a very attractive.
See? She's very likable. I mean, yes. Likable.
Very nice.
I think this calls for a refill.
Oh, are you going to go get a drink?
No, I'm right here. I'm smart enough to have the bottle close.
I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy.
Oh, that's funny.
Come on, you've heard that before, haven't you?
No.
That's as old as Moses' toes and twice as corny.
All right, where's it from?
It was actually...
Don't say TerrorVision. Go ahead.
Not TerrorVision or the Forbidden Zone.
I would have remembered that.
No, it was from the Existential Blues that I think I mentioned to you guys before. It's a song from Dr. Demento.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it was about the Wizard of Oz, basically. And at one point he said, I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy. Yeah.
You know what I decided?
What?
I think that what I need is another movie that you guys can, like, hound me on to, like, that I haven't seen.
Mm.
And then, you know, it's like one of the, or actually, like, all of us have to have something that we, like, haven't done that is, like, major from, you know, one of the decades that we cover.
Okay.
And then it's like one of those things that we pick on each other until we see it. Or do it, or
so you, like
watch,
the thing,
or listen to
the
it.
Thing,
yeah,
the thing was a good one for you,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah, something like that.
Hmm.
And I'm sure that there are, you know, what I've referred to as those gaps in our retro you know, whatever, you know, our retro experiences that, you know, are big gaps, things that we should have watched or should have seen, but we never made time for. And
I'm sure I could find a few movies in the 80s that
you haven't
seen.
I had
that happen to. Yes. What was that? I was just either reading or something about, we were commenting on it somehow, that I had never seen it. Okay, that's funny. Do you ever watch the or follow the Ultimate 80s page on Facebook?
No.
They just posted a picture a little bit ago. Oh no, it says yesterday. If you bought a DeLorean, would you drive it a lot or just from time to time?
Ba-dum-bum.
That's pretty good stuff.
Oh, speaking of which.
Uh-huh.
A Christmas gift that I got.
Oh, damn it. I have to send you yours.
Christmas gift that I got was that, I think it was the 30th anniversary of Back to the Future. So it has all three movies. And really? Tons of extras.
Really?
Yeah, so, and it came out a few years ago. So, I mean, I know that, you know, it's not like... It's something that at one time it was like, you know, 30, 40 bucks or whatever, but now it's like only like under 20. Mm-hmm. But, my daughter had gotten that for me. And yeah, so I already watched the Q&A with Michael J. Fox. So I've got to just, as I did with Bill and Ted, just completely immerse myself into Back to the Future now.
Mm. All That's cool. Movies.
Yeah.
Hey guys.
Hey.
She's back.
Hey. I'm back, kinda. Remember when kinda. I said I was going to leave? I'm sorry.
You have to leave?
My son, I do. My son came over and he brought me my Christmas gift and I kinda wanna look at it.
Hey. Family is important and that kind of stuff is important. So we understand. So I guess we'll take over from here.
It's okay. A really good Christmas gift.
So, Merry Christmas. Enjoy the rest of your holidays.
Thank you, too.
We'll talk to you next week.
Yep. All right, guys. Thanks. I love you.
Bye. I love you, too, Rose.
Bye.
Happy New Year. Bye. Wait.
All right, so a lot of pressure on us now, Scott.
What?
So a lot of pressure is on us now.
I don't know what to do now.
We lost our Rose.
Wait, what? I don't, where do we go? Where do we go now?
Let's see. We were talking Cosby Show, if we want to go back on topic.
Now, how do you want to do this? Do you want to continue on topic, or do you want to break this off and wait for Rose next week to come back on? Because, I mean, we have a lot to talk about for the
decades. We have a lot of stuff to talk about. We haven't even finished like TV shows, man.
All right, so why don't you and I finish up the TV shows and then we'll cut it off and call that part one.
Okay. And then we'll cover movies and albums for the for part two.
With Rose.
With Rose. Okay.
Yeah. Sound all right.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
So Cosby Show, did you have anything else to add? I think you were kind of wrapping up your points.
Yeah, I think I finished it up.
Okay.
I was good on it. So 1998, then what's the next show that was on?
That was ER.
ER.
ER was the show. Did you watch that at all?
So I did.
Okay.
However, I don't have a lot of recall to like talk about. Yeah, like I wasn't. I remember watching it. I can see the characters' faces. But I really can't like comment on anything that stood out to me. I liked it. I enjoyed it. You know, I mean, it's a kind of a drama medical show, and it was definitely intriguing at the time. It was, you know, it was the newer version of St.
Elmo's Fire.
Not St. Elmo's Fire.
I know what you're talking about.
St. Elsewhere.
St. Elsewhere, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it was definitely not General Hospital. Although it could have been, because it was a nighttime soap, basically, you know.
It totally was.
Those dramas are, a lot of those dramas are evening soaps, because they carry the character on from one show to another. So, yeah, I mean, I like the show, but I don't know. I don't have a lot to say about it.
Well, for me, this is one of those shows that was like one of the first shows that my wife and I watched together.
Mm.
So it was ER and about the two shows that I remember as being like the first ones that we really got hooked together and watched like every episode together was ER and Mad About You.
Mm-hmm.
So ER, for me, what really kind of hooked me was Noah Weil. He played Dr. John Carter.
Noah. Mm-hmm.
And he kind of had this, you know, he was the rookie. He was the guy that was just kind of starting. And you had all of these other doctors that had been around the block for a long time, you know, like the Anthony Edwards. And
I always forget that he was in there.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards and George Clooney, you know, and these guys were the ones that had been around for a long time and showing him kind of here's how things go and how you have to relate and how you have to, you know, deal with all of these, the craziness that is the ER. And mm-hmm. So it was kind of a, you know, you saw Noah Weil's character as kind of throughout the seasons become the mature doctor, you know, but he started as kind of this, I don't want to say an intern, but just somebody that was learning the ropes. And it was a great progression of a character. And to me, that's what I really associated with and enjoyed watching is seeing the progression of his character throughout the seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, all the different characters that they had throughout the series and, you know, the different seasons. And there were so many different things that would mature, you know, the Marie Turney, as Abby Lockhart, you know, I enjoyed watching her progress as I think she was a nurse that became a doctor. And I just really enjoyed watching those people. Those characters evolve into a more mature role than what they originally started from. So I enjoyed watching the evolution of those characters, enjoyed watching the evolution of the drama of it. And you're right, it was a soap opera. You know, it was one of those things where you had the drama of whatever was going on, those cases that they were working on for that particular episode that always, of course, got resolved by the end of the episode. But then they would have some story arc that would take them through the different seasons, you know, as they progressed. And it was a fun ride. It was a fun ride for me and my wife as well, as of enjoying that together. So I've always enjoyed ER.
So I'm scrolling through some of the screenshots that they have under IMDb.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing a lot of actors that I recognize from other shows that I don't remember them being on, like Busy Phillips. Do you know who that is? She played she played Kim on Freaks and Geeks. The blonde.
Oh, really? She was on that, too?
Yeah, she must have been in a couple episodes. She looked like she was an intern or something. And then there's another guy that's a redhead that I've seen him in quite a few things before, but I don't know his name. Who is the other person I saw in here? Oh, another person from Freaks and Geeks, Lindsay, the actress that plays Lindsay in Freaks and Geeks was in one episode also. So it's funny that, you know, you see in these older shows, like Law and Order has a similar thing. You know, you see a lot of these actors that are in other TV shows or movies or whatever that play this one role or whatever. Right. But overall, looking at these photos, I'm having a lot of flashbacks of really watching this show more than I remember watching it. And, man, I just don't remember. Like, it must not have been enough to stick with me, but it was enough to entertain me.
Yeah.
At the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
I don't mean to minimize it or anything. It's a great show. Anthony Edwards, love that he was in that.
Yeah, he's, you know, for a while there, he was, you know, going strong. They killed him off, spoiler.
Yeah, what happened to him?
God, I don't remember. See, I thought there had something to do with like some sort of brain aneurysm kind of thing, but maybe I'm remembering it wrong. So yeah, he's what, 182 episodes.
Wow.
As Dr. Mark Green. He ended his run in 94 to 2008. So long run in that show. I always think of him as the guy in Gotcha. And I don't think that was a movie that you watched.
I remember seeing it. No, we talked about this.
Okay.
This was back in the 80s reboot series. No, I loved that movie. I remember it. That was a good one.
How come we haven't really talked about that one in length?
We did a while ago. Like when we did the Anthony Edwards icon.
Okay.
You and I talked about it. I don't remember if Rose was in on that one, but Anthony Edwards icon, that was back, gosh, had to be 2 years ago.
Right.
Over maybe longer. Because that was when we were doing a lot of the icons, which we should definitely venture back into that area, I think.
You think we need to go back into the icons?
I love the icons. I think they're fun.
So something like, now that we have, you know, we can pick on icons from the 70s and 90s now.
And we kind of have. I mean, we've done a couple of them. Like when Rose and I did Dirty Harry, it wasn't necessarily Clint Eastwood icon, but right. It was the character Dirty Harry icon. So right. that was cool. We had fun with that. Who else? Well, and we've talked about like not Alan Arkin. Damn it, Die Hard. The villain in Die Hard.
Oh, shoot! Come on, we don't remember Hans.
I'll know it as soon as we either you say it or I look it up.
Hans Gruber, Alan Rickman.
Yeah, Alan Rickman. Thank you. I said I was trying to say Alan Arkin, but it's Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
I should have known that. A little thing. Sorry, on listener. That. You know, I know. I feel bad about that sometimes too when we can't recall the exact thing.
Yeah.
That we're looking for, but at the same time, you know, we're on the spot. We're recording. We don't always get to do all of our research because this was kind of spontaneous conversation. We don't really, that's one of the things I like about doing our show.
Yeah.
Is that we're just talking. It's a spontaneous, conversation. We're not really we don't have a lot of structure, which I think is good overall.
I agree. I think if as soon as we start getting scripted and we start like, you know, we need to have this, that, and the other, and this is exactly how we do each show, then I don't know, it feels to me, structure feels bad in this pretense. I want to keep it completely like the three of us are sitting around and just having a fun conversation around dinner.
And I think that's so. I'm going to talk to the listeners for a second. I think that's what most listeners are looking for. And I could be wrong, but I went to a podcast meeting, back in November. Now, we skipped December just because of the holidays and the way the timing fell. So we're going to get back together in January. But the person that came in was saying, how are you relating to your listeners? Are they just listening to a bunch of facts that are thrown out there? Or are they listening to your personality? Like the way you and I and Rose interact with each other. I think that's what draws them in, draws anybody in. So they want to be a part of the conversation. Like when my wife was listening to the concert one, she's like, I got to jump in. I wanted to call in, but I can't because it's already recorded and I can't be part of it. I'm like, don't worry, honey. I know people. I can get you on the show.
You know a guy.
Yeah. I know a guy who knows a guy who knows a girl.
I've heard that before, though. I've heard that where people are like listening and they're like, I want to be able to say something and I want to be able to interact with you guys.
Well, that's exactly what
I want it to be.
Well, how did I get involved with you in the first place?
Getting annoyed by those that were on the show before that didn't know the 80s as well as you did.
Yeah. And looking back, I'm like, well, I mean, I love the 80s, but maybe I don't know it as well as I thought I did. But I felt like I wanted to interject and have part of the conversation. And that's why I reached out to you. And now look at what we have. Look what we have. The friendship we have between you and me and Rose. It's a lot of fun.
It is. It is.
And that's what it's all about. That's what this is all about.
Yeah.
Just having a good time.
And I hope that comes through, to the people that listen.
I think people will pick up on it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe people can let us know through reviews or sending us an email or a voicemail. Send us a voicemail. Just go to our website and send us a voicemail. Please tell us. Tell us what you think.
We've asked for all that before.
I know.
But people aren't doing it.
We might as well ask again. Doesn't hurt to ask again, right?
I don't know. I mean, what do we have to say? Do we have to promise our firstborn in order to, to get a voicemail from somebody? I mean, come on.
I don't know.
I don't want to be an ass about it, but I mean, we've been asking about it. We've been asking for reviews. We've been asking for, voicemails.
Okay, so here's the thing. At our meetings, the podcast meetings, these are things that we talk about.
Okay.
The meetings. And one of the things that comes up is like, how do we get more reviews? Well, it's hit or miss. Either you get them or you don't. There's like, unless you are like seriously just pimping your show out every which way you can. And I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I want to
force it.
Yeah. If people listen to the show and they like the show, I'm good with that. I'm not looking, I don't know if I need to have thousands upon thousands of listeners and all kinds of reviews. I don't know how important that is.
So for you, it's more important to have just fun interaction with Rose and I.
I think that's what I enjoy the most.
So if we got a boost of 50 new reviews, like next week, you'd be like, that's cool.
I'd be excited. I'll admit, I'd be excited for 50 new reviews. Yeah, I'd be excited. 50. Yeah.
I was just throwing a number out there,
but
I get what you're saying though.
It's not going to make. Okay. If we don't get any reviews in the next several months, it's not going to stop me from doing what we do.
I agree. I agree, because I enjoy this. This is the I don't want to say the highlight, but it's like one of the things I really look forward to in a week.
It's a great escape from reality for me.
Yeah.
Like doing this, I'm not thinking about bills. I'm not thinking about work. I'm not thinking about, relationships or whatever. Maybe a conversation that I have with my, my sister or my wife or whatever that may have been an argument or something. Cause those things happen. That's just life, right?
Right.
But this is my couple hours a week that I can just like totally reflect on things of the past that I loved. That's what it's all about. And with a couple of people that enjoy doing the same thing, and we enjoy it. It's just, it's a way to, it stimulates the brain, it stimulates my brain from this point of view. So anyway, wow, we got really tangent.
Big tangent.
But I love tangents, as we all know.
Very true.
So
are we done with the top TV shows?
Yeah. Should we hold off on the rest of the stuff until Rose comes back?
That might be prudent. So we might want to do that. So we're going to hold off on talking about the movies and the most sold albums per year for Rose to come back.
Okay. So you want to wrap up the show?
Unless there is something on the top TV shows for 78, 88, or 98 that you want to bring up.
Oh, like my favorites? Like my personal ones?
Go ahead.
Okay. So, 78, Mork and Mindy.
Great show.
Robin Williams, I think, that was his... Another spinoff of Happy Days, by the way, right?
Right.
Because Mork was on Happy Days originally, and, Laverne and Shirley. Anyway, Mork and Mindy, loved it. Always had a crush on Pam Dauber.
Of course.
Thought she was real cute. And Robin Williams was just funny. And then you add the hysterics of, oh my gosh. What it was his name? His son, Robin Williams' son, eventually, but it was older. He was older.
Oh, shoot.
Oh my gosh!
I know who you're talking about. The one that did the voices.
Yes, yes, yes. Ay ay ay.
Works. Son. Come on, Dave. You know this. Jonathan Winters.
Yes, Jonathan Winters.
Oh, my God. I knew that.
Funny dude.
Yeah.
And the two of them together, him and Rob Williams, were just... They would bounce off each other like... It was natural. Like, that was perfect casting.
We're going to sound like idiots, by the way.
What?
The stuff that we should know just right off top of our, like... Our brain.
No, here's the thing, though.
Like Googling.
When we're doing the show, it's under pressure. Suddenly, like it's like
playing a game. It's just you and I talking, dude.
Yeah, but no, it's not. It's not the same. Like if we were playing a game, just some trivia game about TV shows, you'd be doing the same thing. Who played Robin Williams' son in Mork and Mindy?
Right.
Oh my gosh, I know that name. Why can't I, because your mind goes into this like like this realm of not knowing shit. The realm of not knowing shit. So that would be
the realm of not knowing shit.
KS.
All right, so more committee. What else were you talking about?
Oh, the other one was more committee and the Love Boat was on during that time, which we spoke about the Love Boat not too long ago. And what? Why did we talk about that? I think it was
I think we were talking about time, the Movember.
Time and cap. Oh, was it? Yeah, Movember, yes.
Because Isaac.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we talked about the Love Boat and all the other people that were on there and all the stars that did cameos and whatnot. I love the Love Boat.
Exciting and new.
Yes.
Come aboard. Show. We're expecting you.
How about you? What were your picks for 1978?
Oh my God, the Incredible Hulk, man! And you know, on the previous
Bill Bixby, Lou Ferrigno,
and that was something that, you know, I was doing a podcast on before, you know, talking about the different episodes of that. But I mean, that started in 77, and that was going strong in 78.
Love. Oh yeah. What else? Any other ones jump out at you?
MASH. Love MASH. Yeah. I was a big MASH fan. WKRP started in 78.
Oh, started in 78, really?
Yeah.
Now, I know some of the shows that we talk about are pre-existing in the years that we talk about. They're not necessarily premieres of those years.
Right. And Chips. Always a big fan of Chips.
I love Chips.
Yeah.
Now, Chips, that's funny, because I lived in Southern California at the time. I had just moved there in 77, so I was only there for a short time. And my cousin and my best friend from the Chicago area, a couple summers, my grandparents would drive out and visit. And they would usually bring my cousin Brian, and a couple times they brought my best friend Joe. Because it was summer break, so they would come out. They would, you know, he would have the time off, and they'd come out, and they're like, "We just want to see some Chips. We want to see some motorcycle California Highway Patrol, you know, out on the road." And I think we saw some, but you know, it was exciting at the time, especially living in the area where it was popular. That's a great show, man. Great show.
Yeah,
good cop show.
Yeah, to me it was like even cemented more when I got a chance to interview Larry Wilcox.
Oh, that's right.
Loved that conversation.
Mm-hmm. That was a good one. That was a few years ago now.
Oh, that was a long time ago. Feels like forever ago. I wonder if you'd be down for a talk to us again.
Maybe. And now that we have, you know, a new cast of characters.
Yeah.
Maybe he'd be up for it again. You should
maybe reach out to
his agent
assistant. Yeah, and find out. Mm-hmm. So 78. What about 88? Were there any favorites in 88 that you want to talk about?
Like I said before, these are not necessarily premiering years, but the Wonder Years, love the Wonder Years.
Great show. Yep. I am such a big fan of Danik McKellar, even to this day.
Oh, okay.
Winnie Cooper,
yeah.
Yeah. She is so smart. My God, she's writing math books.
Really?
And if you follow her on Instagram, she's always like, she's promoting kind of a well-being kind of state of mind in her, you know, everything she's been doing as far as like promoting people loving math. I mean, I don't, but she obviously does, and that was kind of her thing.
I do not like math.
I hate math.
Yeah, but I sucked at it in school. I was terrible.
She makes fun videos about it. She makes books for kids to make math enjoyable.
Hmm.
Interesting. She is so smart. And I love her now even more than I did back then as Winnie Cooper.
Hmm.
So, go ahead, though. You were saying?
Oh, no, I just, you know, the show in general is really good. The cast itself was, all of them were entertaining, loved Winnie Cooper, was always rooting for
Kevin and Winnie?
Yeah, Kevin.
Yeah.
To, you know,
to be a couple.
To get to be together, you know, to be boyfriend and girlfriend. And they kissed on the premiere, the pilot.
Was it the pilot?
It was the pilot, like at the very end of the show, at the pilot. And then it was just they're sitting on a log.
No, I remember the episode. I used to know that was the
pilot. I believe it was the pilot. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
Now I'm Googling it.
Many times. Wouldn't be unusual.
And by the way, that was Danica McKellar's first kiss.
Wait. Time out.
Go ahead.
Oh my gosh. My computer's freaking out right now.
Uh-oh.
I don't know how I got on that page. Somehow I got to HGTV something about Chicago and Flippers. It started playing a video. Like, wait, how do I get out of this? Wait, hey, it's back. Stop. Go away. I can't get out of it. Okay, I got it. I had to close my browser altogether. Where the hell did it come from? It, like, snuck up on me and attacked me. It was like Alien. Okay, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Good. All right.
I'm trying to find what episode and number, or like what, like season and episode.
So, see, let's see. Winnie and Kevin's first kiss.
Takes place in the pilot episode. Took 6 takes, McKellar recalls. So you're right. Okay. I didn't realize that was a pilot. Wow. Okay.
Hold on. This is stupid. No. All right,
so...
Okay, my computer is like... I can't get out of stuff.
Okay.
YouTube. All right, so was I right?
You were right.
Okay, it was the pilot episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Did you know that America's Most Wanted... started in 1988.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So John Walsh did his thing. That's a good one, too. Yeah. What about Cheers? You? Cheers was still going strong.
Yeah. You know what? Chrissy and I have been watching Cheers on Netflix and Amazon. It's on both, actually, right now, Prime.
Oh, very cool.
And we are on season 8, I think. I think she's watching it right now, actually.
I'm working my way through Mad Men.
Mad Men?
Yeah.
It's a great show.
I never got into it before, and now I'm like on the final season.
That's a good show.
It is a friggin' awesome show.
Yeah. anyways, we've been watching Cheers, and wow, a lot of that stuff would not fly today. Like, Sam was a predator. Women, like, seriously. Like, I never saw that.
Are you serious?
Oh, dude. Like, that, like, he was, okay, Diane Keaton. I mean, not Diane Keaton. Oh my gosh, what's her name? Rebecca Howe, who replaced her.
Diane. Howe. No.
No, it's Rebecca Howe. The actress. Oh, good name God,
you're
is...
making me do a lot of lookups.
I know. This is terrible. I should know this stuff.
All right, so let's see. Cheers. Let's go. Cheers, Rebecca. Rebecca Howe, fictional character, Kirstie Alley.
Kirstie Alley. Why did I say Diane? Oh, that was Shelley.
Yeah, it's Shelley Duvall's character.
Shelley Long.
Shelley Long, my God.
We should just pull the plug.
We're so done.
We should just pull the plug tonight.
We're so done.
So Sam, aka Ted Danson, his character completely, like every episode for like three seasons, is just sexually harassing Kirstie Alley or Rebecca Howe every episode. It's like it's all he wants to do is sleep with her, and that's all he keeps talking about. How can I trick you in? Like the other night, like the other one that we just watched was about him trying to make her go to sleep so he could take advantage of her while she's sleeping.
What?
I swear.
I don't remember that.
I am not kidding. And Chrissy and I are watching this. We're going, wow, this is really bizarre. Like this would not. I'm surprised they even allow to show this kind of stuff, even in rerun. You know, like there's not a bunch of people up in arms saying, "Oh, Cheers should be banned," because it was very sexual, harassing, from like a woman's point of view. Definitely, as you know, as a woman, you should be offended by watching this show. It was terrible.
I have no idea how the 80s got away with that, but
I don't either.
It did,
because there's quite a few shows that actually got that they did that with, but this one was really like if you go back and watch, just go back and watch a couple of the like season 6 or 7 on net. Do you have Netflix?
I do.
Okay, so look at season 6 or 7 with when Kirstie Alley's in there, and just. Watch a few episodes. Really. I would love to hear your take on it.
Well, maybe once I get through Mad Men.
Okay.
So back in 1988, the show that I think would probably get a lot of like people excited was Roseanne. But I never got into it.
I remember watching it quite a bit, but I also remember it was kind of annoying.
Roseanne Barr, she's always annoyed me, always.
Yeah.
You know, even so, you know, I know that she's done like more now that you know kind of gives her notoriety, but even back then, I never liked her. And so I can't watch her. I just can't. In any iteration. And I know people love that show, but I just never got into it.
Yeah, we watched it quite a bit.
Okay.
Or I did. This was, I was only 20 years old.
Right.
At the time. And I do remember watching it.
You liked it?
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah, you know, I mean, shoot, that's 30 years ago, dude.
I mean, you watched it, and you watched
it. I watched it. Right. There's a lot of things that I watched that I don't, like, I can't recall as well as some other shows. But I remember watching it.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know.
Okay.
Not sure.
All right.
Good question.
Fair enough.
Maybe just because, you know, because I was 20 and I had a lot of other stuff going on in my life and, like, I didn't allow it to settle in.
Okay, fair enough.
Does that make sense?
Totally does.
Like it was more of passive TV watching.
Yeah, it was kind of there in the background, but right. It wasn't like something that was a big focus for you.
Right, like I didn't have to go, oh, Roseanne's next episode is out this week, you know?
Right. I think Empty Nest should have been more of a thing for me. I didn't watch it. I don't think I've seen a single episode.
Really?
Probably not. I don't think so. But it should have been because Christy McNichol was in it.
Christy McNichol, yes. Yeah. And her older sister was played by... It was a good combination.
Okay.
Yeah, my brain is fried tonight. I don't know what's going on.
You're done.
Whatever. I'll see you at trivia night. That's when I fail, too, is like... I can be watching a TV show with Chrissy, just sitting there watching, you know, something. Any random show that's, you know, on Netflix or Amazon or Hulu, whatever. And I'll see an actor. I'll go, oh, they were on this show from back whenever. You know, but now I can't bring up, I can't, my brain is not working.
I get you. You're kind of disconnected, and I'm having to look up everything. So I'm like, I have, as being the fact checker for the show, I'm like on overdrive right now. Because I'm not able to answer the questions that, like, I should be able to pick up. You know, Kirstie Alley should have been easy.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah,
so. Oh, well.
Maybe we should just wrap it up. Do we want to do 98, though?
Yeah, 98 TV shows real quick. Okay. What else is there here?
I love The X-Files.
I like the Mulder years.
Yes.
Not so much the Doggett years.
Yeah. No, the Mulder years were better. And that was... I think he was still in 98. Because it started in 93, I believe. And, I think he was still part of it at the time. It was only 5 seasons in. He didn't leave until season 7, I don't think.
I did 1998 TV shows, and X-Files is not on the list.
What?
As far as what I'm scrolling through. All right, so, okay, what else?
93. The other show I liked is Seinfeld during the 90s.
Of course.
Yeah, Seinfeld. And that rolled on through 98, so.
Yeah.
That was
yada, yada, yada.
Are they sponge worthy?
And I think because I did 1998 TV shows that I'm only getting stuff... No, that's not true.
Premieres?
I was going to say stuff that, premiered in 98. But I don't know. I saw Seinfeld.
So season six of the X-Files.
You got sex on the brain too?
Season 6 was 1998.
Okay.
Started in November of 98, season 6. So season 5 was early 98, probably. Yes. No, 97 and went into 98, early 98. January, February, March, May. All the way up into May of 98. So, yeah. That I gotta watch this show. This was a great freaking series. I love the X-Files.
So that was the Mulder years.
Yes, definitely the Mulder years. And the cigarette smoking man, and they had the smoking, or the lone gunman.
Lone gunman.
guys, which was
yeah, love those awesome. Guys. Yeah.
Man, I gotta go back and watch this again. I'm bust out
that, the DVDs. That was a great show.
I gotta bust out the DVDs. I got all the seasons on DVD.
So. Oh, that is so awesome.
Unfortunately, my DVD Uh-oh. Player is not working correctly.
Ah. Uh-huh.
I don't know what's going on. Hmm. Anyway. So yeah, X-Files, and then the other one was, what did I say? Seinfeld.
Seinfeld.
Yeah.
For me, there was a TV show that Aaron Sorkin put out called Sports Night.
Oh, dude, we talked about this before. Yeah. You brought this up.
Love that show.
It was only on for two seasons?
Yeah. And I got the DVDs, and any chance that I get, I watch it. You know, I love this show. It's so well written. So
and it's like a spoof on sports shows, right? Like sports commentation shows.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, these guys are putting together it's a production company, and they're putting mm-hmm. together a sports. I don't know, ESPN kind of a thing. You know, they have, you know, their network. Mm-hmm. And they're like the third rated network.
Right.
And it is so well written. And so if you're a fan of Aaron Sorkin, this was like his pre West Wing. And it's just so well done. And I just love it. I just love the interaction with the characters. And even though I'm not a sports fan, I love how the story evolves and the characters evolve as they go through. So yeah, I brought that one up before, but that one premiered in 98. Friends was going strong in 98.
Oh, that show annoys me.
What?
It does.
Annoys you? What yes. the fuck? Really?
So... Chrissy,
how in the world does that annoy you?
So Chrissy pulled it up a couple times on either Netflix or Amazon or whatever it's on, you know, or whatever we're streaming, whatever streaming Friends. I think it's on Netflix, but she watched a few episodes and I sat there and a couple times I thought I felt physical pain from watching the show.
I don't see how that's possible.
I'm like, wow, this was, I just don't get it. Like, I don't get the popularity of this. It's kind of ridiculous.
I'm at a loss. Okay. I don't know what Shoot, to say about this. Do we need to this.
Go, woo, look at the time.
I don't know what to say to this. You hate Friends?
I don't know.
It sounds like it.
Okay, I never said the word hate. Okay,
all right.
Don't put words in my mouth, Dave. I dislike it with a passion.
That sounds like hate to me.
No, I'm kidding. No, I'm like, wow. I know. I remember watching it a lot back when it was on, but now rewatching it, I'm going, wow. I'm not sure why I like watching it. What annoys you? Huh?
What annoys you about rewatching it?
I don't know. I think this is gonna sound stupid.
Come on, let's hear it.
It just sounds so ridiculous. It's just so unrealistic. At the same time, I watch X-Files, so whatever. But going into the X-Files, you know that it's science fiction. Like Friends is supposed to be like closer to reality, like it's supposed to be situation comedy, right?
Right.
That's what sitcoms are. It's situation comedy. And looking back, I'm like, I can't relate to any of these people. So like it makes no sense. Like it doesn't. I can't relate to it. So. Before I came in here, we were watching I don't remember what we were watching. Oh, we were watching the Bears game. The Bears game wrapped up.
Right.
And so just randomly on Hulu, because we were actually able to stream the Bears game through Hulu down here in Florida. It was the only game that was on locally. So after the game, Christy's just flipping through a couple things, and she pulls up King of Queens. Okay.
Right.
And King of Queens is, you know, it's Kevin, James.
Kevin James.
Yeah. Kevin James, whatever. Kevin James.
We've got it wrong all night. Go ahead.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. At this point, it's all out the window. I'm just going to pour myself another drink. Like I said, I was, you know, I said oops drunk earlier today at midday, so.
Yeah, okay, right.
It goes down into my belly. Anyway,
yep.
So we're watching King of Queens, and okay, if for people that have been listening to the show, some of them probably know where I came from. I used to work for FedEx. I used to drive and deliver packages for FedEx, and that was my life for over 20 years. Well, Kevin James in King of Queens is a delivery driver. He delivers packages. He works for a company called IPS. You know, it's a spin on UPS and kind of a joke about the whole package industry, right? But one of his dreams was to open a sandwich shop. And way, way before the show ever even came out, I was driving and delivering packages. I wanted to open a sandwich shop because I love submarine sandwiches. So I wanted to open my own submarine sandwich shop. And then they come out with this TV show about this driver, this package delivery driver that wants to open a sandwich shop. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, who's been looking at my life? Like, who's been getting into my brain? So that's why it's relatable. We're friends. None of those people living in a very expensive apartment in New York doing what they do, whatever it is they do. I don't even know what they do for a living. And then they always meet at this coffee place, Central Perk.
Yeah.
So do you see where, like, it wasn't as relatable.
So you enjoyed it back then, but it's not enjoyable now because it's not relatable.
Yeah, I think so. Doctor.
I'm trying to find a connection here. I'm really trying to find it.
Yes, Dr. White, I'm sorry.
I can't see how somebody would hate Friends. And yes, I'm putting the word in your mouth. I am putting that word in your mouth because it sounds to me like you hate it. Because if your wife is putting it on and you say, I'm annoyed by it, to me, that's hate. Is that wrong?
Okay, no, it's not, because I actually had to leave the room.
Exactly, my point. Okay. Thank you.
I all right, I just can't even do this. I got other things to do that are going to be more fun.
Is there a particular character that bugs you?
Chandler kind of bugs the shit out of me.
Oh, and my God, Chandler's the best.
And then Joey. Joey's a fucking dumbass.
Oh, my. Wow. Seriously. We are completely polar opposites here. Because you guys are you're picking on my favorites.
My favorite character?
Jennifer Aniston.
No.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
She was hot. She's attractive. Woman, you know, young lady. Right.
So,
Phoebe.
Favorite? Phoebe.
Phoebe cracked me up. Okay, I want you to think about this, Dave.
I'm at a loss, man.
I want you to think about this. Think about it long and hard. I'm the person that likes the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Right.
I'm the person that introduced you to the Forbidden Zone.
Correct.
Why wouldn't I like Phoebe?
This is a great point.
Because she's out there.
She is.
Her character's out there. Smelly cat.
But she's on every episode. Why would you not, like, tune in just for her?
I like her. I like her. I and Courtney Cox is so overrated.
Overrated?
Yeah. And then the whole thing between Ross and Jennifer Aniston's character.
Rachel.
Rachel, thank you. Yeah.
Of course, I would know that.
I'd rather watch Tony Danza.
You'd rather watch Who's the Boss?
I'd rather watch the sexual tension between Tony Danza and what's her name from Who's the Boss.
I don't know where to go with this. Friends hater is what you become.
Okay.
It hurts.
I didn't know the show is that important to you, buddy.
I didn't think it was that important to me until I found someone that hated it.
But now I'm
like, what the hell?
I want you and everybody that's listening to keep in mind that I never, ever said that I hated it.
You leave the room.
But I never said I hated it.
You leave the room. That's a hate. Admit it. Come on. Go ahead, admit it. Say, I'm a Friends hater. Come on.
Not going to do it.
All right, fine. All right. So I think we should wrap it up.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're actually past wrapping it up. So this is a portion of the show where we remind everybody to go out there and follow us on our social media, which is available through our website, which is at BanzaiRetroClub.com, B-A-N-Z-A-I, RetroClub.com. You can also find a link to leave us voicemail, as we talked about earlier. And you can also send us email at McFly@BanzaiRetroClub.com. I mentioned before our social media, which is Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, all that kind of good jazz. So please go out there and follow us. We also have ways that you can go out and leave us something to help us run the podcast. And that's a thing called Patreon. Scott likes to tell us about that.
Well, sometimes I do.
Sometimes you like to talk about that.
No, Patreon, it's just a way to show support for the show. We, like we were talking about before, we're doing this for fun. We're having fun doing it, but it does cost us a little bit out of pocket to keep the website up and running and keep the show up and running. So any way that you can show support that way is awesome. And so please do that, and you might get a few extras here and there, like the pre and post conversations that I had with Robin and Chris with the concert series that we just did, the two episodes, was a blast, and I would love to share that with everybody. So if you want to become a Patreon member and subscriber, we'd love to share that stuff with you. So that's Patreon. Scroll down to the bottom of the page of our website, and you'll find a link to it.
The other thing that we'd like to remind you to do is go out and leave us a rating review on iTunes, and also subscribe to the podcast. My God, I can't even talk anymore.
And Rose likes to tell us about that. Rose?
Who's not here.
Yes, this is Rose, and please go out and leave a review for us, whether you like us or not.
Please do that.
Sorry, that was not like Rose.
That was a bad Rose. That was a bad Rose impression.
Yes.
So with that, we'd like to
don't be offended.
So with that, we'd like to tell everybody, be excellent to each other, and have a good whatever. Bye.
Bye bye.
This has been a Banzai Retro Club production. Thank you.
Banzai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Banzai!
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 Dear God, do we have to edit the hell out of that?
I don't know. Maybe we should just... We might just want to start over. And save that for bonus episode.
I don't know what to do with that.
I don't either, man.